Now continue with slide 5 on lecture 3. So that's slide 5 on lecture 3. And that's asymptotic properties of the maximum likelihood for maximum likelihood inference. And so the general picture is, however you estimate parameters in a statistical models, there's also always be some uncertainty, some random variation in the estimates. And what one of the attractive features with maximum likelihood is that you have a good grip on what are the, how big are the errors. You can make confidence intervals for the parameters. You can make hypothesis tests and so on in a fairly straightforward and easy way. So this is what I'm going to tell you about right now. And we need a number of important notations. And that is, the first is script I of theta. That's the expected value of the second derivative with respect to theta I and theta j of L of theta. So this is a matrix. If there were d parameters, d equals 3 for us typically, then this is a 3x3 matrix. The first element in this, the second derivative of L of theta with respect to theta 1. The second element is the second derivative of L of theta with respect to theta 1 and theta 2, and so on. So for example, in the generalized extreme value distribution, the first thing would be d2 of d sigma 2 of L of sigma mu gamma. And the second element would be d2 d sigma 2 d mu 2 of L of sigma mu gamma, and so on. Now we want to use this to measure uncertainty, but then of course again this is a function of the parameters, and we don't know the value of it. But the way to use it then is that you just, from the page before and page 4, we found the maximum likelihood estimates of the parameter vector theta. And then you can estimate the script I of theta by plugging in the estimate and replacing the theta by the estimates. So the expected Fisher information matrix you can estimate as I, but with theta replaced by theta hat. What one often does is, instead of doing this, which has this expectation, which I'll talk about a bit, and which is a bit hard work to handle, is that you instead look at I of theta, which is something called the observed Fisher information matrix. That is, you look at the matrix of derivatives of the log likelihood function without taking the expectation. So this is the observed Fisher information matrix. And it's actually often better, more precise. It gives better estimates, and you don't have to take the expectation. And in the parentheses, this is explained a little bit more. In the expected Fisher information matrix, the observations are replaced by the corresponding random variables when the expectations are computed. This means that, of course, you have to think about always what is random and what is not. And in script I of theta, just up on top of page 5, then you have a derivative with respect to theta I and theta j of L of theta. And here, but on the outside, you have to take an expectation. That means the x's inside of L is thought of as capital X's, so they are thought of as random variables. In the observed Fisher information matrix, instead you just plug in the numbers. So there, L of theta is what you get when you plug in the little x1, little x2, and so on, say 0.1, 0.2, and whatever they are. And a further plus with the observed information matrix is that we'll always have to use numerical optimization programs to get estimates, and they typically give you the Hessian, which is just minus I of theta, the non-script I of theta. So you get it sort of for free from the programs. Now, sort of the main result of on asymptotics of maximum likelihood inference is that the maximum likelihood, this is sort of what's in the middle of the page, the maximum likelihood estimate, theta 1 hat up to theta d hat, asymptotically, that means if n, the number of observations, is large, then it has a d-dimensional multivariate normal distribution with mean, what it should be, the thing we estimated. So the estimates are centered around theta. And the great thing is that the variance is asymptotically for large n equals to script I of theta to the minus, to the power minus 1. So if one-dimensional parameter, say as for the Poisson distribution, it's just 1 over I of theta. And if it's 3, if the parameter vector is 3-dimensional, as for the generalized extreme value distribution, then I is a 3-by-3 matrix, and you have to take the inverse of this matrix. And I hope you have seen n-dimensional or d-dimensional multivariate normal distributions before. And if you haven't, please look them up on Wikipedia or in your books or whatever. But a particular part of this is that in the variance matrix for a d-dimensional normal distribution, then the entries on the diagonal, so the entries I of theta hat minus 1 II, that's the ith diagonal entry, that's an estimate of the variance of the estimate of theta I. So if you take the first diagonal diagonal value, then you get an estimate of the variance of theta 1 hat. If you take the second diagonal element, you get an estimate of the variance of theta 2. And if you take the first off diagonal estimates, if we go further, then that's an estimate of the covariance between the two, theta 1 hat and theta 2 hat. And so, in particular, as I write here, the variance of theta I might be estimated by I of theta hat minus 1, the II element of that. And instead of using script I, it's maybe easier to use you take the observed Fisher information matrix, takes its inverse, and then take the ith diagonal element. And this latter is typically more accurate. Then the first thing I want to do when you wonder about uncertainty, how badly off can the, or how good are the estimates of the parameters, then you do confidence intervals. And you've seen this, I'm sure, during the repetition of basic statistics. And so then if you want to have a confidence interval for theta I hat, say theta I is 2 and theta I is mu in the generalized extreme value distribution, well, then the confidence interval goes as follows. You take the estimate to get the left endpoint of the confidence interval. You take the left, and then you subtract k alpha over 2 time, which is the alpha over 2 quantile of the standard normal distribution, and then you multiply it by the standard deviation of the estimate. And the standard deviation of the estimate is, of course, the square root of the variance. And then to get the upper boundary, you take the estimate and you add k alpha over 2 times the estimated standard deviation. This is just completely the standard way of doing confidence intervals, which you've seen very many times before for the standard normal distribution. So just an exercise. The solution is on the next page, but it's a very good idea to wait with looking at it until you tried a little bit to solve it. So the exercise is as follows. You've observed events, say exceedances, excesses, over a period of 5 years, and N is the number of observed excesses. You've observed 31 excesses, and lambda is the yearly intensity, the yearly parameter of the Poisson process. And what you want to do is now to estimate this parameter lambda and make a confidence interval for it. So that will be for the next sound clip. So this is the end of page 6.